Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Worthing. This message is by Simon Coles.
Carrying on our theme of spiritual formation, it's 3 weeks ago we had Colin talk to us about silence and solitude, which I don't know about you, I found that really quite challenging because I do quite like noise and things going on. But there's some really, really interesting things about the heart of God for us in that. Clive, a couple of weeks, talked about simplicity and generosity and living in the place of rest. And you may have seen my assistant here has brought out these three chairs. So you know what's coming. You know what's coming in a minute. And last week, Victor talked about submission and surrender. And in that, he did talk about serving and about what he did. But I just want to just talk about a couple of things that he mentioned, because we do these things because God builds on our life. Everything that we do is built upon. So we try not to have individual messages because God works in a theme through us, yes. Based upon our character and what he needs us to do. And it'll be different for different people. But there was a couple of things that I picked out in Victor's message, and I feel slightly underdressed today because of what Victor wore last week. And I thought, what could I wear? So I went and bought myself a new t-shirt, thought about wearing a football top, but decided not to because I'm not sure we'll be celebrating later. But those things he said was transformation and formation is a process. It's a process that we go through. What Jesus did was instant, but we go through a process. But, and then he said this, which I thought, butterfly is not a pretty caterpillar. Well, that was really, really interesting. It's been through a period of change. And we have to persevere so we are lacking in nothing. If you haven't heard those messages, please do go back and listen. They're on there. You can get them on YouTube. You can get them on the website through the podcasts, etc. But today is about serving. You may have guessed that by some of the things that were said, and there was a section on how you could serve and get involved. And Dave did a video on serving, so don't say there aren't any opportunities because you've seen a few. And it's funny, isn't it, when this wasn't in what I was going to say, but I am going to say it, that volunteer, you know, we don't volunteer here now when we put our hand up. We volunteered when we moved from that chair to this chair. That's just the way. That's when we volunteered, when we said, Lord, we give you our life. That was the volunteering point. And everything comes off the back of that. Now, I'm skipping forward, but I just wanted to say that when, you know, talk, come and volunteer. Now, come and make a difference in people's lives. Come and help those kids. Come and just speak to them. Give them the opportunity. And you've got so much to give. You have got so much to give. And it's so important that we realise that. But just stand with me. Well, I want to pray before I jump into what I'm going to talk about. So, Father, I just thank you for your revelation of what you want to do for each one of us. Thank you, Lord, that you care about every single person who's here today. You have a plan, you have a purpose, you have a destiny and a call to see their lives affect others. I thank you, Lord, that you do not wait till we were perfect to use us, but you use us and you make us more like you towards perfection as we go, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, for that process in everybody's life. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. You know, coming to church and being a Christian is in a self-help group. We don't come here, we say a few things and try and help you live a better life. We do that. But the core of it is what Jesus has done for us. And we can't do anything to get us from that chair, which we'll talk about in a minute, to that chair. And we can't do anything. It's not about work. So when we're talking about servanthood, servanthood is a heart attitude.
That's right. Yeah.
It's not about doing something. Out of that heart attitude comes doing things.
Yeah.
But we're not asking people to do things,
yeah.
Right? We're asking people to serve. That's what God asks of us.
Yeah.
Oh, I could stop there, really. I could stop there. But we need to understand where we're coming from. So where we operate from. And I think when I was praying and preparing over the last few weeks, because I make sure they have to give me 3 weeks' notice, unquestionable, just to make sure that this is. I don't know how these guys can turn up and just preach with, you know, like the night before that someone's ill or whatever, but Mason, I need 3 weeks' notice. Because I've got a lot to do, so, and I've got a lot to think about and get my head right and make sure that I filter some of the jokes out, because they would come out. And Kate says, you cannot say that. But she did say to me before, please, don't be boring. Make it interesting. Make it so it is... I think she was saying, be basic in the sense of make sure it's relevant to people's lives. So what my heart for you is that you get God's heart for you. And wherever you are in your work, that you would see what God has for you and what that means and what that has for you and actually how he will do things. So we're going to start from a place about in Christ Jesus. Because where we serve out of or where we give out of or where we do anything out of is based upon what Christ did for us. And I think I left the book. I did leave the book. Can I have it, Katie? Thank you. A lot of people over the years say to me, what's different about Kingdom Faith? And I can't really remember because I've been around a long time. So maybe I take it for granted, the teaching that we get here. But everything that we do is out of that position in Christ Jesus. Everything we pray out of, everything that we do. That's why it's important that we read the Word. It's important that we get good teaching. It's important that we understand who we are in Christ. If you haven't read this book, right, it's written by Pastor Colin. This is the foundational teachings of who we are. If you're struggling in your life, in any area, whether it be faith, in believing, am I going to believe what God says or not? Because that's what faith is. Am I going to move forward? This book will talk to you about everything that happens when you get into this chair. Everything that happens in that instantaneous. We know that's the chair. And I struggle with having the chair, that chair as close to this chair. Yeah. They're this. And I understand we do it, but the stage seems a lot smaller today. But anyway, that's completely different over there. This is the chair that represents what we were before we knew Jesus. Right. We were separated. Yeah. Separated from God. We were over here. Now, you can do works or you can serve from this chair. Lots of great people do stuff and works. They give money. Painful, give money. But out of this chair, because nothing that we can do can bring us back to where we are over here. This is a completely different position. In fact, we are a completely different creation. The Bible says that I'm a new creation over here. There used to be a song we used to sing years ago about being in I am a new creation. I'm not going to sing it because you'll be thankful about no condemnation. Here in the grace of God I stand or sit in this situation here. So here it's completely and utterly different. This is where we serve from. This is where we do whatever, everything that we do from this position. And we'll talk about that more in a minute when I just check my notes. Yeah, but do read this book. I think it's £5. It's £5. If you can't afford £5, that's fine. So I said you can have one, okay? Should get that signed off, but as it's me who signs it off, it'll be okay. Anyway, let's move on. So we need to make sure the foundations of our belief are correct. And this is about the heart condition. If anything, when you read this book or you listen to any of Pastor Colin's old teach, it's all about the heart. Everything we do about the heart. I don't know what's going on in these people who are standing up here talking about turning tides. There's people probably that responded to the call of God's life to respond to go and do something. There might be people who are dragged along and just have to go along. I'm not saying any of them are, by the way, but they might be. But actually, it's what's going on in the heart that is really, really, really important. So if we can just turn to the first Bible verse. In Galatians 2, verse 20 and 21, it says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live now is in the body. I live by faith in the Son of God, that's good, who loved and gave himself for me. Before we were saved, everything we did was driven by us. We had a sinful nature. We were separated from God. When we go to this chair, we often phrase, you know, that phrase. I don't remember if there were some tracks years ago. I think they were called the bridge. You know, where there was a cross between. They did that, and they're a very, very good way of explaining to someone what because it's got nothing to do with what we can do, and that's why it's quite hard to talk about things in a because that statement is completely true, but in a Christian context, we still have to do things. And we still have to think there's things that need to happen. There's decisions that need to be made. There's conversations need to be had. There's people to be reached. And I went down to the baptisms yesterday, and I was so humbled by some of the testimonies of what God's doing in people's lives. These were stories of radical life changes of people there. It was quite humbling to sit there and think to ourselves, you know, what we do on a date. And I had a conversation with some of the congregation leaders about the fruit of what they're doing, and what us as Kingdom Faith are seeing people saved out of the pits of where they were going, and their lives completely turned round. Amen. Don't discount that God's not doing something at this period of time. Amen. Yes, we're believing him for more, but he is moving. Amen. And people, when you listen to those testimonies yesterday, Amen. Such an incredible, just humbling, but also God has got a plan and God is moving. Amen. So over here, Jesus' sacrifice. What happens in us at this point when we move, at that point we're saved? We're a new creation. The old sinful nature is broken over our life. Yeah. We are justified in Christ. We are forgiven. And there's an act of will that has to go from each one of us from that place where we don't know Jesus. We have to make an act of will to surrender. And I thought Victor's message last week was incredibly, incredibly challenging. I don't know if anybody, I mean, he could probably say things that Clive couldn't in that way because of the context of the thing. But actually having a member of the church serving the body, and I knew Victor as the cameraman, do you know what I mean? Who knew the giftings on his life? But I don't know the giftings on your life.
That's right.
But I know the giftings on Victor's life because we started to see him and actually started talking to him. We thought there's much more in his life, but it came out of a response of serving. He didn't come and say, you know, I'm a great preacher, which he is. He came and served as a cameraman. Yeah. Something in that. Just ponder on that. I wrote down these two things, the other words. Sorry, I've got to that age where I have to wear glasses sometimes. We're new creation here. So the chair three is an interesting one, but it's over here. It's not over that side. It's over here. You can live in compromise, laziness. Mm-hmm. I know I did. Still do sometimes. Do. It's just the reality of it. But I'm not separated from God.
That's it.
I'm not separated. I can serve from here. I can live. I can give from here. But there is to get from here to here, from here to here, still needs an act of will. And I think for some people in the room when I was praying this morning, I think we forget there's an act of will to come in line with what God does.
Yes.
If God left us to our own devices over there and never said anything, we wouldn't naturally probably become more like Jesus. In fact, we wouldn't. We would probably drift off and do other things. There has to be an act of will, a continual daily surrender that moves us from there to there. So, yes, there was the initial surrender, but there is also a daily surrender that needs to happen in our lives. And I'll be doing you a disservice if I told you that wasn't that true, so I'm not going to. Comes from repentance. These are lovely words. Repentance, submission. This is a major part of the Christian work. Can I just say this chair of rest is not a chair of rest. It's not a chair of doing nothing. It's a chair of knowing God is in control.
That's it. Yeah, that's it.
And God is trusting in your life. It is not the chair of apathy and I'm not going to do anything because I'm just going to rest in the Lord. Resting in the Lord is a, there's a, the language there is not, this is a chair of obedience. There's a rest in obedience.
Yeah.
When you know what, when you're doing what God says, that is where the rest and the peace comes from.
Yeah.
It comes from it. So if God has said something to you and you don't want to do it, and I'm speaking from complete and utter experience here, you're never going to get any rest because he said to me, this is what you need to do. So if you choose not to do it, it's very hard to get rest in the Lord.
Yes.
Because the fundamental issue is that you've made an act of will not to obey him.
Yes.
And it comes from obedience.
Yeah.
In that we have to follow his will. We don't get to rewrite the Christian rules. I used to have this thing in my mind where I thought God would change the rules for me. He didn't. But he waited for me to realise that.
That's it.
He waited for me to realise that. The Christian life will contain much work, but it's work inspired by God, not us. Anything we do in serving, and this is the problem with these, we've all nicked bits from serving and living in the chair of rest. Because last week I was like, Victor, that's great, but I was going to talk about that. And Clive, when he started going to that, I was going to talk about it. He said, I'll set you up. I thought, well, it's one way of putting it. I thought you nicked a few things. But at the end of the day, they all overlap because we do everything out of our heart response to the Lord.
Yeah.
So if we're talking about money, or time. See, money was never the biggest cost to me. Money was not, that was easy. That was a transaction. You send the money and you go off and you do that. That's fine. But giving of myself or giving people time, that was the cost to me. That was actually more costly than finance because that was a transaction and just move forward. So it will be different for different people, but it's all about the level of surrender in our lives. You can serve from any of these chairs. I've preached on it before, but in my first... I came to Bible college when Katie and I were, 19? So it was 1995, something like that. So I'd have been 20. And came to Bible college, knew the Lord, God's giftings in my life. And then I spent about 10 years trying to drive my life... Well, they just put it to the furthest level of compromise I could get away with without God intervening.
Yeah.
Because God's intervention, if you go too far, is not pleasant. And I knew that. This is went off in my head. So how can I do what I want to do without going so far God intervenes? Because that is not always pleasant when you've gone too far away from the Lord. And I live like this in my life. And taking abuse of what it means to be fully in him and going forward. But do you know what? How long it took me to move from there to there?
Yeah.
1 second.
Yeah.
In the same way that it took me from move from there to there, 1 second. Because it wasn't about me. It was my surrendered will to his will.
Amen.
Okay. I've just looked at the time. So serving is called what we could do. I'm going to read this big... So we put the second Bible verse up. Jesus did it. That really, I mean, today's message is about serving, but it really is about who you are in Christ. It's my heart is for you guys. And that's why I want you to read this book, because if you read this book, God will speak to you through it. And also unlie some, because over here we have a devil who's lying to you, who says you've got nothing to give. Rubbish. You've got nothing to offer. It doesn't matter what you do. You fail before you'll fail again. That is not the truth of what Jesus says about you. And that you need that revelation for yourself. So in John 2:13, it says this. And let's just talk about Jesus. Now, this is in the context of the Passover meal. So he knew what Judas was going to do to him. I look at this and think, I might have been slightly passive aggressive at least to Judas. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world. He loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took out his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. A bit like what Nicky did a minute ago. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you should never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." I love Peter when he says this. Lord, reply, wash all of me then, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean." He's talking about the two chairs there.
Yeah.
Talking about the two chairs. There's a difference. There's still repentance, but there's a difference. There's a different things going on there. It's funny that it was in there for them. For he knew, "Those of you who had a bath needed to wash their feet, and you are clean, not every one of you." For he knew he was going to betray him, and that was why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also," this is where the pains come in, "you have all, your teacher have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent you." Let's repeat that. "You should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do and I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master." It's very clear. Serving is not about position. You know, Claire introduced me as the exec pastor. She's trying to wind me up because I hate titles, and she was instigated by Jen Sainsbury's, who wanted to give a bigger, longer title, because it's not about position. There are positions that people have, and Clive often says, "I'm no more important than any of you." And that's true in the Lord. We may have different roles, but actually our goal is the same thing. And our goal is the same thing, is to see more than 20 people get baptised down in Worthing next time we do it. That is our goal. That's why we're here. You might think that the purpose of God in your life is that you are blessed and you get this and you understand that and you do that. That's part of it. But that's on the way to the goal of seeing other people's lives saved. That's what we're here for. We're here to see other people's lives changed and for them to be saved and to change eternal destinies. On that, we teach and we grow and we do things and we're fellowship and we have a great time. But that is our ultimate goal. It's quite clear in the Great Commission. In Matthew, it says this, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great amongst you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." We serve not to get anything out of it. We don't serve or give or whatever to be loved. Give and serve because we are loved. That's the difference. I'll say that again because it was very underwhelming. And I really like that when I asterisked it. We give and serve not to be loved.
That's it. That's right.
We give and serve because we are loved.
That's right.
You know, I don't do things for my kids because I want them to love me. I do it because I love them. There's a difference. It's the heart attitude. It's really important. It's really, really important. You know, in John it says this, "A time is coming and now has come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the kind of worshippers the Father seeks, God is spirit and truth, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in the truth." For me, I understand the spirit part really easy because I can put my hands up and I can just be with the Lord and worship him. But the truth part is what outworks in my life.
That's right.
How much of the reality of what I do Oh, it's horrible, you know, because I know the things that I struggle with. How much of the reality in my life do I work out? That's the truth of what Jesus did. I live out the truth and revelation in my life. And I can't say something on one day and not do it on the other. Because we can come and worship the Lord, but serving is an act of worship.
That's right.
It's an act of worship. Serving is part of discipleship. So we, in Ephesians, it says this: Christ gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers to equip his people for works of service. So the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and became mature, attaining to the whole measure, to the fullness of Christ. Part of the lead, our job is to prepare you for works of service. Now, I'm not just talking about what you do on a Sunday or what you do in a church. I'm talking about there might be your neighbours. There's lots of different stuff. How God unfolds service in your life or that is down to you. But there will be some outworking of that. Because the Bible is quite clear that we're to do that. And it might be going around and visiting people, or it might be putting chairs out. It doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. We write it on the wall. You know, we put on the wall, know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, make a difference. We want you to make a difference. And you make a difference in serving. Because it affects other people's lives. We do something. The reality of what is in our lives and the reality of what's going on. You know, I read these surveys, well, I used to, about companies where the best companies you go to get promotion. You know, you can go there and you read them now, and all these people like Glassdoor talk about these things. Can I tell you, God has got the highest level of career progression or ministry progression for you.
Yeah.
He wants you to develop, but it starts with serving. Yeah. It starts somewhere. It doesn't matter what you do. It's what you do in response to what he says. I wrote this down. I'm not sure if I should say it, but I'm going to. We are all friends here, aren't we? I have just read that bit where before the Lord, we're going to have to stand before the Lord because me, Clive and the other leaders are actually told that we have to prepare you for works of service. So this is not me. I'm just doing as I'm told. But could I say to you, if you don't want to serve, you don't want to be discipled?
That's true.
If you know algebra and A plus B equals C,
yes.
If you take one of those away, you can read across it from that. But there may be things that God, maybe you came to this church a couple of years ago and you got involved. And over here, God said to you, do you know what? Go and put the chairs out over here. And this is what you're doing. So you put the chairs out and you do whatever. And there's nothing wrong with putting chairs out. If we didn't put the chairs out, you'd have to get them from the back on the way in, yeah. Which is not great, conducive to Christian meetings. But actually, God promotes because he sees what's going on in your heart.
Right.
And I often have conversations with people say, I think, especially around freedom, the freedom course, where, no, I think God's got this for you. Oh, no, please, just let me do whatever. Let me just put your chairs out. I don't want to do that. But I can see the giftings on your life. Or Clive can see the giftings on your life. And when you say, no, I'm not going to do it, even though it was the right thing at the time, you've moved over here. Because that's the chair of obedience.
Yes. Yes.
And God has so much more for you. You all look like I'm telling you, I'm not telling you off. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm encouraging you to be all the best that you can most. You can be in Christ. And that comes from you realizing who you are in him and what that means. What that means to you. So let's not build some of these teachings on wrong theology. The right theology is you can do anything in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
You can do anything that he wants. So there may be people here that said, thinking that you've got nothing to give. We're going to break that lie off your life when we respond, because you've got loads to give.
Yeah.
You know, just go and get involved in the kids. Get involved in something and see what God does in your life. Can we have, I've lost where I am, so I'm just jumping all over the place now, which is fine. It's not the job that's important. If there's anything, it's not the job that's important. It's in the heart work that goes, that God does in you whilst you are doing the job, or what he has to do in you in the first place to get you to do the job. I'll repeat that. It's the heart work that God does in you whilst you are doing the job, or what he has to do in you for you to surrender and to do it. In Matthew, there's the two sons. It's funny this. They are sons, so they know the father. And he says this: what do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, go and work in the vineyard. I will not, he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. That sounds like my life, to be honest. It might sound like yours. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir, but he did not go. Which one did what his father wanted? We all know that the first son changed his mind because he had conviction of the Holy Spirit and he'd understood what it was to be a son. And he responded to that. And one said yes and one did not say. So I'm conscious of the time, but you didn't give me as long as I asked. So we're going to be 5 minutes over because the response here is really, really critical. So I don't want to rush our response. So I'm going to skip some of the things through some of the things that we do. In Chronicles, you can put it up behind me. There was a king called Amaziah. He did some things. And in the word, it says he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but he didn't do it wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
Just check with yourself what you're doing.
That's right,
yeah. You're doing it wholeheartedly. If you're not, get before him and find out why.
Yeah.
It might be that he's got something else for you. But you serve, people who tend to, it's like football players. They get transferred to a different club. They play each week. Don't have like 9 months off, unless they're injured, 9 months off. Tend to be when you change serving roles or what God has for you, you automatically go into the next one. And you might have to do both for a bit because God is like that. But but what are you doing wholeheartedly? So what does serving do in us? And this is why God wants us to serve. Because actually, part of the discipleship process with serving is it does something in our character.
Yes.
And teaches humility. Do I really want to do this thing? It's a thermometer in the condition of your heart. And in Galatians, it says this: you are my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. It's very powerful, that.
Yes.
Discipleship needs discipline. It builds character. And you might actually end up being in a team with someone you don't like. I'd put it to you that is part of the reason you're there.
Right.
Because God wants you to learn forgiveness and to be forgiven. Because if you get things wrong, when we rub up alongside each other, We understand where we're at. There's nothing wrong with understanding where you're at before the Lord. And we take it to this point where we're like, Lord, you've done everything for me. Please forgive me for my bad attitude. Please help me not to treat people like that. There's nothing wrong with it. The danger is if we ignore it and pretend it, because God, pretend it doesn't happen. Because actually the issue is not the thing that goes on, the pretense in your life, because God's always made a way. And it comes through repentance. I was going to tell a funny story about small... And actually, I'm going to tell this funny story. I had someone come to me once and say, I want to be a small group leader. And I said, brilliant, that's great. See the giftings and anointing on a life... on the person's life. They're not in the church anymore, but, so they came in and said they wanted to be a small group. That's brilliant. What small group are you in now? I'm in this group. First thing you do is go and serve that small group leader. She said, great. Off she went. 6 months later, she comes back and says, can I be a small group leader? I said, how did it go serving that small group leader? She said, oh, I never went. She was useless. I could do so much better. I could do so much better. I could do so much better. What that person taught me is not how to lead a group. See, that's where... And let's all be honest. People go, but come on. We've got to be honest with ourselves. Come on. Let's be honest. But it wasn't about the lead. The goal for her in the process was leading the group, the badge. And the goal for the Lord was surrender in her life.
Yes.
And I bless that lady or wherever she is or whatever she did. But actually, we're not going to have a praying mantis school of leadership where the person eats the person above them so they get promoted. Yeah. That's not surrender. But God will promote, because God can't, you can't do things and obedience for God and him not reward. It's just the way that he is. Right. We don't do it for the reward. Yeah. We don't do it for the promotion or the extra responsibility or whatever comes with it. We do it because we love the Lord.
Amen.
It's costly to serve. Look at the Good Samaritan. Serve someone he didn't like. Well, he did like them, but culturally he shouldn't have liked him. Maybe that's a better way of saying that. Lionel, do you want to come up? I just want us to stand. Does that mean stand? We're just going to respond to the Lord. I hope that through that, the Lord was revealing some stuff to you that he has for you. Maybe there's stuff that he's spoken over your life and you've just put it in your pocket because you haven't seen it come. Look at Joseph. He saw his family. He had a vision from the Lord and they're all going to bow down to him. 5 minutes later, he's in a pit and he's been sold into slavery. The word of God of your life is not affected by the circumstances you find them in. And sometimes circumstances come to make sure that your trust is deeper than, because it needs to be, and he waits. And I always feel for Joseph, because when he went into Potiphar's house, he probably thought he had reached where he was. And then he got completely and utterly, by no fault of his own, thrown back into prison because of what she said about him. But he carried on and fulfilled the promises over God's life. God's got promises for you and he wants to restore them. God's got things for each one of us to do out of this place, not because I've stood up here and said this, but because the Lord wants to see you grow and develop, because he wants to use you to see other people saved.
Yeah.
He wants to see you raise other people up and prepare them for works of service. So we're all in this together, but we have to make a decision at this point. What did it mean on the day when we gave our life to Jesus? Because we volunteered for whatever God said we needed to do at that point in time. That's what happened. There was a when we say we give our life to the Lord, what parts did we give? So just, this, Lionel's going to play in the back. I just want you to, there's no condemnation in this. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. If you've been lazy or you've been disobedient, that can be dealt with by the blood of Jesus right now. If you've been fearful of what it means to make yourself vulnerable and go and do that, we just want to speak, we just break that over your life. We just break any fear and intimidation of what God has, to stopping what God has over every member of our congregation. I thank you, Lord, that we will bring our kids up knowing that we serve in response to you to see lives change, and that they can do anything in Christ Jesus, because it's not by flesh and blood, but you know, it's not by might, it's by your spirit that we operate anyway. But I thank you, Lord, that you do things in people's lives now. So just say whatever you need to say to him. It might not be about serving. It might be about forgiveness with people. It might be about how you use your finances. It might be about how you strive for fulfillment that God wants you to have in him in another area. Cars, work, fame, all that stuff. That are just a distraction for the purpose God has for your life. Ask him now, how do you want me to serve you? it might not be in the context of a church context. It might well be. Is it go up with the kids? Is it come and put chairs out? Is it take food round to the little old lady's house next door who's on her own? I don't know. It doesn't matter. But it's in response to what the Holy Spirit has for you. Jesus' blood made a way for us. He always makes a way. There's always an answer. If you're here and you're thinking, I don't know what that guy's talking about, because you don't know Jesus and no one's ever introduced you to him, come and talk to me afterwards and I will happily talk to you more and introduce you to the God that loved us enough that gave his son to cross the divide that we as humans had created, that the power of sin was broken over our life, and Jesus wants to have that relationship with you, and that's why you're here today. So if you don't know the Lord, come and speak at the end, because the Lord wants to meet with you. He has a plan for your life that isn't about you, it's about glorifying him. And I can tell you now that it'll be the best life that you have. Might not be what you planned, but it will still be best. My Bible is quite clear about that. The best way is to live in God's plan.
Amen.
So I just thank you, Lord, for everyone today, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that there's no condemnation.
Yes.
That what I'm saying here applies to all of us as a family.
Yes.
We don't want to have a family barbecue, and I don't want to be the lazy uncle who never does any clearing up or tidying up, because we've all got them. But I thank you, Lord, that it takes all of us to build a church, to see lives changed. So when people come in here, they're welcome and they're loved, because that's the environment where you'll speak to them and see them, Lord. Thank you that every single person here has a part to play in that, in this church, in the other congregations, to see lives changed. So I just thank you, Lord, that today, anything that I've said that's about me just drops away. But everything that your Holy Spirit wants to just encourage people to grab along more onto what you have for them. Thank you, Father. I just thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yes. Thank you, Father. If anybody wants to speak afterwards, there'll be some leadership down here. We're happy to talk to you. My prayer is that you would just be... You know when you first get born again and you have that fire in you about the Lord and everything is clean? I think the Lord wants us to live in that every day. Live in that every day. And there are things that we have to do. There's things that we need to do. Jesus was a servant and he had to obey the Lord. And he had things that he needed to do. Just make sure that you're reading your Bible and praying to the Lord, and he's going to reveal what he has for you. Because God reveals to you. If you find it difficult to hear the Lord's voice, read your Bible. He speaks to you, and he will speak to you. But we can talk about those sort of things. But I just pray now, Lord, that this week that you'll give us opportunities to serve people around us, people that we don't necessarily like. Thank you, Lord. We give to people based upon your love for us,
yes,
not on their love for us.
Amen. Amen.
So I just thank you, Lord.
Thanks, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.